Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this dystopia. It is episode number 294 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag tells you about something Chad never thought he would see. At 12:30, NBA free agency tipped off with a frenzy of activity. And in mere minutes, adults were acting like children at the state capitol yesterday, and the Bills are trying to leverage a move to Austin for new stadium financing in Buffalo. That's what's happening here. We are not getting an NFL city, nor do we want one. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
You damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Tuesday. Hope you are dry enough now. Got enough of the rain yesterday, but hopefully there was not significant flooding wherever you are. It is a weird time of year. I would say it's that time of year, but normally that would be reserved for an April, May kind of a situation. It does not feel like August 3rd in many ways, but because it is August 3rd, we are a little bit closer to football, 32 days until Texas kicks off against Louisiana. And, of course, we'll have it for you right here on the Horn. All Longhorn games for you, all the Cowboy games for you once they crank up. Hey, we're only 2 days away from the Cowboys and whatever it's going to be against the Steelers in the Hall of Fame game. Remember, all regular season Cowboy games for you right here on the Horn. And we're glad to bring you all that stuff on the Austin Radio Network. We'll jump into some of this football stuff today. We have our normal conversation with Jeff Ward coming up at 1. He wants to talk a little bit about Buffalo, the Bills, and the city of Austin, so we will definitely get into all of that. Also, our Horn Top 20 will continue with number 19, a team out of the Big Ten that a lot of people are going to be watching this year because they bring back some significant talent. We will get to all of that. Mr. Elling, how are you today?
I'm doing all right, Chad, and well, I tried to warn you people a couple weeks ago that orifice massages, going inside the orifice, mm-hmm. is maybe something that others were exploring as well. This after the experience that I had in Breckenridge, where my masseuse, Oriah Sage, decided to take her hands into the inside of my orifice for the first time in my massage-receiving life, and she massaged the inside of my mouth. Well, it turns out that Deshaun Watson is also somebody who is, I guess, a fan of the inner orifice massage, although, unfortunately for Deshaun, he's not asking for such things inside his mouth. It's a different orifice.
He was asking for, apparently, a different terminal.
The south, prostate milkage?
The south terminal.
The
south terminal discussion apparently was what was going on there with Deshaun. I have literally no experience in that world. I have never had a professional massage that lasted more than 10 minutes, and I've never paid for one. So
what was the 10-minute massage? A chair massage?
Yeah, something they had here at work where they're like, hey, they got somebody here. And I went in. Yeah, I definitely never had a massage where I'm laying down, a massage where I've changed clothes in any way, taken clothes off in any way, and certainly not a massage to the level where there's all those kind of options being thrown out. I'm assuming that is a boundary that is not discussed in massage land, but for Deshaun Watson, apparently, it is something that is discussed in massage land.
And something that he is asking for.
He's requesting.
Just after meeting a masseuse who is working on him for the first time, saying, can you go a little bit deeper?
Man, yeah.
Into that area. And it's like, what, like, deeper into the crevice where the glute cheek is kind of meeting up with the other glute cheek? And Deshaun Watson, we're not going to play the audio.
No.
But he wanted to go deeper into the canyon than that.
She assumed he meant the South Station. He meant the South Terminal. That's what was going on there. And I don't really know how that factors into the legal discussion of Deshaun Watson in any way. But because I guess at that point, if you ask for that, at a massage. I mean, I guess every masseuse has dealt with something where if you ask for something that the masseuse is not comfortable with, that's not a crime, is it? In and of itself?
No, but it will probably be, in a lot of cases, I guess, unless you're Deshaun Watson and you can throw stupid money at having her continue to give you massages beyond that one session, it's probably something that ends that working relationship in most cases. Like, I can ask my masseuse, Kristen, who does a phenomenal job, I can ask her if she has ever dealt with such a request before, but I worry that that might jeopardize my relationship with her and my ability to go through her when I am aching, when I'm dealing with the aches and pains that only a massage can take care of.
Yeah, and somebody texted in about, we obviously don't want to have a lighthearted tone about alleged sexual assault. Obviously we don't, and that's why I'm asking. I don't know how this factors into that discussion. I don't know how that would factor in, because if this woman also experienced something that she would consider assault, then an incident like that and a demand like that during the massage could play into that.
That in and of itself is an interesting conversation. Does that qualify as assault if you're asking for that?
Right.
But not forcing her to do that?
That's going to be something they've got to figure out.
But you've clearly never listened to the show before if you're asking us not to have some fun with even seemingly serious topics, if that fun is at our own expense. So nice try, Texter. We're not going to stop that.
All right. So remember, if you have any text you want to throw in, the Specs text line is 337-3776. That story is out there in the state of Texas and the region and in the NFL world today. We'll get into some other NFL stuff as we roll through. But I feel like, and we will get into the city of Buffalo trying to use the city of Austin. I never thought we would talk about that. But Trey, the scene at the Capitol yesterday, everything we thought it could be and less? Is that the best way to describe it? Because apparently they just all went to the official building, everybody wore suits, a lot of people spoke, and nothing happened, right? I mean, there's nothing that occurred.
I'm surprised we didn't get some sort of feats of strength by the end of the day yesterday, because the rest of that gathering was essentially Festivus, where you're just griping at the person. I guess it is only the person in question, because Oklahoma wasn't there, too.
Was it the list of grievances?
List of grievances. Airing of grievances the Texas Longhorns.
Did they have a poll?
Taking shots about how Texas hasn't even been good enough in the Big 12, and now they're just going to go get their butts kicked even worse in the SEC. And
they didn't say that, did they?
Nobody's.
Someone said that?
Let me pull up the exact
quote. Oh, God. Talk about missing the argument.
Texas State Senator Charles Perry to UT President Jay Hartzell. Jay Hartzell deserves a freaking raise after what he put himself through yesterday.
Hartzell's a beast. He can handle this.
If you're as big and great as you think you are, you should have made the Big 12 equal better than the SEC. You didn't do it. So that was a kind version of that.
Oh, I see. Okay, now that's a different argument than you're not playing good football.
There was also somebody who tried to own Hartzell. I don't know if she was a TCU grad or is a TCU grad, but she's like, you couldn't even beat TCU. You're 2-7 or 2-8 versus TCU since the Horned Frogs have moved to the Big 12. You're going to get absolutely owned by Alabama. I mean, the shots were flying. 3-7 versus the Horned Frogs. Maybe your fan base would rather lose to Alabama than TCU. Said Lois Kolkhorst.
See, that's weird, because that means you're showing up in awe. This is where, Trey, this should have happened 3 weeks from now, 3 months from now. The wound is still open. The wound is still sensitive. This is salt in wounds. We haven't had any healing yet, because TCU does not need to be focusing on that. That's not what this is about. It's not. When A&M left for the SEC, a lot of people went, well, have you seen that average football team and they blew all these leads? They're going to get destroyed in the SEC. That's really not the point of what's going on. And this specifically is not the point of why Texas is going to the SEC. They're not going to the SEC because they think they're going to whip Alabama. How simplistic an argument are you making if that's what you're thinking of?
It's hurt feelings here. Same Charles Perry, who I guess is from Lubbock and a Texas Tech grad.
Now, here we go.
Have you heard the Christmas vacation quote yet?
No.
I feel bad for the SEC. Cousin Eddie's coming home, and he don't leave until he's wrecked the whole house.
Wow.
So let me get this straight, Charles Perry from Texas Tech in Lubbock. You, who have been sucking on the teat provided for you by Texas and Oklahoma for the last 25 years now, which has literally been bringing in half of the revenue that has allowed you to operate at a much higher level than you would be as a G5 school. You're complaining that we're wrecking the whole house? We've helped keep this crap hole propped up for the last, even not being good at football, we've helped keep this crap hole propped up for the last decade plus now. Good luck finding that new home. I hope you look, even with the hard feelings, I hope you land in the Pac-12. I think that would be a great landing spot for you. But the Big 12, it's seen its day, and it's time for all of us to move on.
I guess it might be good to get those feelings out. I think it's wasteful to do it at the state capitol. But I guess if that's the venue you get your feelings out, I would tell Texas Tech and TCU and Baylor, like I've told Aggies for years, just remember, as you are getting, now they're not getting out of the shadow. The shadow's moving. The shadow's moving places. When the shadow moves, just remember, the shade moves with it. And you can say all you want about when you're not in their shadow. Just make sure you know what to do when there's no shade. Because the Aggies figured it out. Eventually. We'll see if they can sustain it. The Aggies figured a way 8-9 years in now where they're trying to establish their own thing, and they try to figure, and they have different shadows on them too, but they've tried to figure out how to live in that world. Texas Tech, TCU, Baylor, after you're done with all those hurt feelings, do you have a plan? Do you have a plan to cast your own shadows or find new shadows to help you? Or are you just going to bitch about Texas? Because bitching about Texas isn't going to get you very far.
No.
I mean, this is what it is. I'm not shocked, but in a way, I would have told the TCU rep, like, please don't go in there with 7-2. Don't go in there and say you've beaten them in football. That's not the point. You need to lay out a plan for what happens. Is it Big 12? Is it another conference? But I guess they felt like this was like you said, this was Festivus. I got a grievance. I'm going to go say it in front of people at the Capitol.
This is your chance to take your shots on the way out. This right. is that, hey, I know you just broke up with me. Can we get together for coffee one more time?
That's right. I got your stuff. It's the stuff. You disguise it as, I got a couple of your things. Remember that t-shirt you used to sleep in? And then when they meet you, you've got a list of things you want to say on the way out the door.
Yep, to try and hurt them like they've hurt you.
Yeah.
I understand. It's human nature. Whether or not we're talking college sports, this is something that happens. And I'm not going to foster the animosity that a lot of these other schools are right now, because we're going to move on to bigger and better things. And hopefully in their case, they get to move on to other things that are parallel to what they've been dealing with in the Big 12 for the last decade now.
What I hope now can happen, I said yesterday, they should let Jay Hartzell say his piece and leave. They need to have that again. If they want to do it again, they need to do it without Texas there.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Bowlesby and the Texas folks can show up and try to figure some things out. By the way, the Bob Bowlesby update today, Trey. These conversations should be interesting. Apparently, Bob Bowlesby and Mr., do I have the name right, Kliavkov, the new Pac-12 commissioner?
Something like that, yeah.
Apparently, they will be meeting today and talking about options. What do we do? One of us has 10, one of us has 12. Neither of us are the best conference in the country, but neither of us are looked at as the worst of the Power Five. Well, one of us is looked at as maybe the worst of the Power Five. The other one has slipped a little bit in terms of rep, TV stuff. All right, maybe they are the two worst. Never mind.
Oh, no,
we are the two worst Power Fives.
They are the two worst,
yeah.
And the Pac-12 is the worst.
Yeah.
Big 12 is runner-up in that category, but you combine the two worst, maybe it creates something a little bit better.
So now, at least, if Bowlesby at least is having this discussion with 8 teams to play with. He has not lost West Virginia yet, and he hadn't lost Kansas and Iowa State. So far, I've heard nothing about actual interest but from the Big Ten or the ACC about those 3 schools. Bowlesby's got 8 pieces to play with. The Pac-12 has obviously 12 pieces to play with. What's the discussion? What's the talk? What are they going to deal with? Is it about partnerships and scheduling? Is that going to, because that could help them a little bit every single year? Good non-conference matchups with those two conferences guarantee all college football fans that every single year, the previous year's first place finishers, second place finishers, and third place finishers will play each other to start the season. Like an NFL kind of mindset. If you finish second in your division, you're going to play somebody that finished second in their division. Do that for non-conference. So you have you know, Oklahoma State, Arizona State. You have, you know, TCU, Oregon, or whatever.
Bowlesby's not going to like to hear this, but it's a common thought out there, so he should be receptive to it. He's not going to be able to save every team in this conference. There are other teams in the Big 12 that are going to make moves on their own for reasons that are best for that institution, just like Texas and Oklahoma have already done. When you see Kansas jump to the Big 10, if you see Iowa State jump to the Big 10, it's maybe a little bit about what the Big 12 is trying to do and partnering up with the Pac-12, but it's also trying to fulfill their best interests. Same thing with West Virginia if they end up in the ACC. Bob Bowlesby needs to understand this, and he needs to try and find a proper home for the rest of the schools in the conference. He can ask the administrators at Kansas State and Iowa State and West Virginia if they would consider a move to the Pac-12, but he needs to be focusing right now on Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, TCU, and Baylor to see if he can find that landing spot for them. And for Kansas State, I know it sucks. It is the elephant in the room. Kansas State should almost be resigned at this point to joining the AAC or the Mountain West or another conference that, quite honestly, suits what they're capable of a little bit more.
They feel like they could, they feel like a G5 might make sense for them. Another thing I would do if I'm Bob Bowlesby, maybe get the Pac-12 to clarify for you this religious school thing. Like, try to clarify to them, what do they think of, what do they consider a religious school? Would Baylor and TCU fall under that umbrella? What's their objection to it? Because I'd never really heard about that till recently, but folks out west believe that's why BYU's never been in. And maybe the Pac-12 could explain that to Bowlesby, and then he would know what he's dealing with, because that'd put Bowlesby in a weird spot, because then he might know that TCU and Baylor can't get in.
I do wonder in BYU's case if it has more to do with their insistence to not play games on Sundays. So maybe in a roundabout way, it is not establishing relationships with institutions that are specifically religious. But I think with BYU, it's like, we can't play games on Sunday. And the Pac-12 is like, well, we schedule games on Sunday, so that's going to be a big problem. The other thing I see about the Pac-12 is that they try and line up academically. They try and make sure that all their schools have a certain academic standing and they're all research institutions. Let's not get ahead of ourselves with that either. Let's not blow that out of proportion. After all, Arizona State and Oregon State are in that conference. So Texas Tech, which certainly has its positive qualities as a school, great nursing school, great hospitality school, they do research there as well. And Oklahoma State is on par with Oregon State in terms of what's happening in Corvallis. Educationally.
Somebody texted in something yesterday, and I never got your thought on it. Somebody texted in, if those five teams we talked about get kind of left from the Big 12, if Kansas, Iowa State, and West Virginia move on, their argument was, if you took those remaining five, added them to the American, which we determined yesterday has 11 teams, that's a 16-team conference.
Mm-hmm.
The listener's argument, the texter's argument was that would then be a Power 5. Would you agree with that?
No.
Based on what would be in that conference?
No. It's not a Power 5.
I'm not quite sure it gets there either.
It's not even close to a Power 5. I'm sorry.
Because who's your power then?
Right. Cincinnati?
Cincinnati and Oklahoma State?
Oklahoma State maybe, but Cincinnati's a stepping stone job. Have we not realized this over time? Even Baylor, for a Power 5 school, that's a stepping stone job. TCU isn't, because Gary Patterson has been there for so long. Oklahoma State isn't a stepping stone job right now because Gundy is an alum there, but we've heard rumors about Gundy looking elsewhere, especially when T-Boone Pickens was around, because he didn't get along with T-Boone. And oh, by the way, Les Miles used Oklahoma State as a stepping stone job to get the LSU gig, correct?
That's true. That is true. But now here's one detail. Once the college football playoff expands, why would it matter if you're considered a Power 5? If they say we're going to take the top-ranked conference champions, as long as they're recognizing your conference as a conference, who cares if they consider you Power 5 or not?
Yeah,
if you're good enough, you'll be up there.
They're probably squeezing the texter is, because they realize that there is about to be a clear-cut separation between the Power 5 or Power 4 and every other college football team at that level. Coming up in 2024 or 25, when it does become exclusive, where you're either in one of these four conferences or you're doing your own thing with your postseason. we're not going to be able to have it both ways. And maybe you get a little bit of crossbreeding is not the right word, but I don't have a better term for it right now. Crossbreeding.
Let's go with crossbreeding.
Crossbreeding in terms of bowl game matchups, where you see G5s go against Power 5s who aren't in the playoff. Mm-hmm. But as far as the playoff itself goes, there isn't going to be a G5 representation or a G4 or G6 or whatever that number turns out to be. It's only going to be amongst those power conference teams.
Once you get to 12 teams, you don't think any G5s are getting in? We'd have had two last year.
Well, no, right. But that's because I still believe that we're going to get four power conferences that total somewhere around 64 teams.
Oh, I see. And then at that point, they're going to grab the 12 from that group.
Yeah, so then it goes like, if you're talking about the Texas high school playoffs, it goes from, you got two divisions in 6A and 5A and okay. on down. You basically have two divisions at that FBS level. And the top division would have its own playoff, and that's the other division would have its own playoff. And maybe at that point you could start talking about relegation, where the team that wins the Division II championship can move up to Division I, replacing whatever craptastic school goes 0-for on the season in that Power 4.
All right, if you've got a text thought, we have a lot of those coming. Oh, wow. This is fantastic. All right,
yes, please tell me this one.
Oh, Lord, before we hit the break. All right, so somebody mentions that Tech is a Tier 1 Carnegie Research Institute. That is not why I was laughing. Someone else mentioned, what else? Oh, mentioned that Oklahoma State has been one of the most successful programs in this area for a while. They've been playing some pretty good football. Both correct. Here's why I was laughing. This says, I'll leave Deshaun alone after this. He should just buy some eels for his needs moving forward. All right. There you go. Reference to yesterday's show.
That's somebody who listens to the show.
We appreciate that. We do. And we appreciate those texts on the Specs text line, 337-3776. All right. We didn't quite get to digging into this Buffalo Bills and Austin, Texas story, but don't worry. We'll get there. Plus, NBA free agency hit and hit hard yesterday. We'll tell you about Kyle Lowry, Mike Conley, and Lonzo Ball. Two of them have new homes. One of them does not. We'll clarify coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
I had a dollar for every time Trey's played Madonna on this show. I could almost get something out of the vending machine. Trey, what are you doing? Why are you going Like a Prayer today?
It is Shameless Podcast Promotion Tuesday, Chad. New episode of Books on Pod is out now. And it is the latest in our Docs on Pod series, where I speak with filmmakers about their documentaries. Today's guest is Christine Stolakis. She is the director of an excellent new Netflix documentary called Pray Away. It is about the past, present, and possibly even future of the gay conversion therapy movement. It is not a conversation for the faint of heart, or maybe it is a conversation for the faint of heart. You decide for yourself by checking it out at booksonpod.com.
One thing I remember about the release of this video was it was really well received in the Bible Belt. Lots of folks in Kansas loved it. MTV played it nonstop, and everybody was generally okay with it, I think. Kids and families, they gathered around the table and watched Like a Prayer a lot.
Just like that photography book that she put out where she was doing some lewd things to a goat, right?
Everyone loved it. It was a huge commercial success. All right, Trey, unfortunately, I need that breaking news sounder before we get to anything else. Wow, out of the NFL. How about this? Not only is Carson Wentz out for 5 to 12 weeks with a foot injury and needs surgery, so is his all-pro guard Quentin Nelson. Wow. They are describing it as the same injury. They're saying 5 to 12 weeks, just like Wentz. They're saying he needs surgery, which he will have today, just like Wentz. And they put the wide range on it because different players are going to respond and recover at different levels. So that's why they're saying 5 to 12 weeks. The story I'm reading here says the first 2 weeks after surgery will mainly be a rest period. And then after that, they've got to really kind of figure out where they are. Trey, I'm not saying Carson Wentz was going to be some kind of a stud, but it obviously hurts when you lose your quarterback. We know exactly what Quentin Nelson is. To lose that guy's talent for any stretch of time, maybe the beginning of the year, hopefully this isn't something that nags at him a little bit, but that is bad news for anybody on the Colts offense.
One of, if not the best guard in the National Football League right now, and at least we know this early, Chad, which team with lofty expectations is going to be ravaged by injuries this year?
Might be them, yeah.
That
so
sucks,
far.
Man. I'm a fan of the Colts. I like what they were doing offensively at the end of the season. I like them as a defense also. I think they started to turn that side of the ball around, and it's just unfortunate that they have now lost two very important pieces on the offensive side of the ball.
So football-wise, a team like Tennessee has got to make hay while that sun is shining. Not that they want injuries, but you got to take advantage of something like that. And then does this mean that Urban Meyer's entry in Jacksonville is eased a little bit because the Colts aren't as much of a threat?
Absolutely. They have to play them twice a year.
Right. So that could change the way those things play out.
That and the fact that he also has the Texans in his division.
He does. Yeah, that's true. That was already going to be something. Let me pull up the old schedule just to see where it starts here. How about Seattle at home? That's a hell of a way to start your season.
Yeah.
Seattle at home, Rams at home, at Titans are their first three games. That's rough.
That is tough.
It's a tough start, man. Jeez. The schedule maker did not like the Colts. All right, so that story's out there in the NFL. I'd call that the biggest story in the league today. Also, we will get to our Horn Top 20 throughout the day and get to our number 19 team coming up. Right now, though, how about a little NBA free agency? Trey, we threw names out yesterday, and I told everybody Kyle Lowry was going to be a big deal. He ended up going exactly where people thought he was going to go. Mm-hmm. Miami was out in the lead. Apparently, he and Jimmy Butler are friends. You know that's a big deal now in the NBA. Who's friends with who? Apparently, those guys know each other. They like each other, and they wanted to play together. And now they will. Kyle Lowry is going to Miami. The one thing I'd bring up if you're a Miami fan, they did have to give up Goran Dragic to Toronto. So if that shooting could have stayed on the team, and you bring in Kyle Lowry, well, then you really look out for the Heat. But he will have to go to Toronto. But Kyle Lowry goes to Miami. Mike Conley is what I was afraid of as a Mavericks fan. I wanted him in Dallas, but Mike Conley staying in Utah. They reworked things. He's going to stick around, hang out with Donovan Mitchell.
I had read that the likelihood is that he was going to stick with Utah. That has been a nice fit when he's been healthy for both sides since they acquired him from the Memphis Grizzlies. So it makes sense that he's going to remain in that backcourt.
Couple other guys sticking and staying. Chris Paul, like they thought, going to stay in Phoenix and just re-up a new deal.
Huge deal, by the way.
Big deal.
Chris Paul is not worth that money. I'm sorry. I know he had a resurgence this year, but Chris Paul is also a guy who's on the backside of his career.
It's up over $100 million, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that?
I thought I saw something close to $200.
How about this one? Trae Young gets a 5-year extension from Atlanta, $207 million, the max that he can get.
Okay, that's
to
the stay $200
in
million
that's
deal
the 200
that I
mil.
Saw. Yeah,
yeah.
And Trae Young has really proven a lot of doubters wrong over the last year.
Good for him. I like the fact that we already saw Giannis stay in a mid-market. Now this is Trae Young staying in. I'm not sure if Atlanta's considered a mid-size market in the NBA, but it's not the biggest market. But I like that the Hawks are going to be relevant for a little while with Trae Young. So I like that move. And then another guy on the move, Lonzo Ball. Mentioned him yesterday. He is going to go to Chicago.
Bulls made a couple of deals yesterday. They also got your fellow Aggie alum.
That's right.
Caruso.
Alex Caruso for about $37 million. Lonzo Ball, 4 years, about $85 million. The only thing I didn't hear yesterday was Kawhi Leonard. I didn't hear officially. We know he opted out. Didn't pick up the player option, but I have not officially heard that he's back with the Clippers. But as of now, if you're a Mavs fan like me, the bad news would be that the Mavs didn't really make a big move at a ball handler, at a point guard. They didn't deal with any kind of Porzingis issue. So as of right now, Luka Doncic has the same amount of weight on his shoulders. that he had yesterday.
Yeah, Hardaway has been the second most consistent player on that team after Luka, so re-signing him is big. We talked about this yesterday. If they missed on both the point guard options, they would spend that money to bring him back. Mavs fans are really excited that Boban's going to be back also. Not only is he an imposing figure in terms of what he looks like physically, he's also a guy who can do some nice things on the court here and there. I have no idea who Sterling Brown and Reggie Bullock are, though, so some bigger NBA heads are going to have to tell me whether or not those are good deals that Dallas signed each to. The Bullock deal is a three-year contract.
And also, the Lakers are trying to fill out enough of a roster because as of yesterday, they had like four guys. They added four more: Dwight Howard, Trevor Ariza, Wayne Ellington, and Kent Bazemore will all be Los Angeles Lakers. They are 35, 36, 33, and 32, respectively.
Okay.
And each of them have, not each of them, but a couple of them do have titles with the Lakers. Dwight got one in 2020. Trevor Ariza got one back with Kobe in 2009. And then Wayne Ellington and Kent Bazemore have both been Lakers in their career, but they still have to fill out more, Trey. They've got at least seven other spots they've got to fill. But until yesterday, until they did this yesterday, it was LeBron, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, and who was the fourth guy? There was a fourth guy that was still technically a Laker. I can't think of who it is right now. And Gasol. Gasol was the fourth guy.
Yep.
Because Gasol at the Olympics when Spain was knocked out, he did say that he's retiring from international play, but he is going to play in the league. So he'll be a Laker again, but they're trying to rebuild things. So that was free agency yesterday in the NBA. The only thing I think to still check off would be Kawhi Leonard, but they expect him to be back with the Clippers.
And we can also check off the San Antonio Spurs making their annual signing of a white wing player who's on the backside of his career, with them getting Doug McDermott.
Oh,
as
I
well
missed
as
that
Zach
story.
Collins. Yeah.
I missed that story.
Doug McDermott,
okay.
Now a Spur.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. The Spurs, in a way, will be a part of the crap bag, because I'll get you an Olympic update in the crap bag. Plus, I saw something I never thought I would see, and I'll tell you what that is in the crap bag. We also have our Horn Top 20 today. That's coming up. We've got Jeff Ward coming up at 1 o'clock, and Jeff Ward wants to get into this Buffalo Bills Austin story. We'll throw it out mildly here, but...
Yeah.
It's an age-old story. This has happened many times. But the current version, Trey, is that the Buffalo Bills, apparently, are trying to get a new stadium. They want it to be 100% taxpayer-funded, and they're trying to leverage their community by threatening to go to another one, and for some reason, they have picked Austin, Texas.
Of course they picked Austin. If you're not going to pick Austin, you got to pick a Nashville or a Denver or...
San Antonio?
Portland, perhaps. San Antonio has been the hot pick for the last 20 years now, and it's usually been the Raiders or the Vikings who are making that claim, right? But Buffalo figures everybody else is moving to Austin. Why don't we threaten like we will too, and people will believe it? The problem for Buffalo is that, one, they haven't had any conversations with city council members, so all you have to do is check there to see just how serious it is. And two, I don't know if this city would want an NFL franchise. I don't know if it would make sense like an MLS team has made sense.
Yeah, I don't understand that. And also, just from the old man fan perspective, like the Buffalo Bills fit their area. They've got to figure out a way to make that work in their area. You're going to take an NFL team that built itself in blue-collar northern New York and move it to Austin, Texas? I mean, talk about a culture fit that wouldn't work. Talk about a vibe that just, you're going to take that away from all those people in Buffalo? Like, that sucks. They got to figure this thing out, man. Add your suites, figure out your taxes. They need to come to Austin and ask them about the Moody Center. That's what they need to do. Go talk to that group and how they're building that stadium where no taxpayer has to pay anything.
And that's what it comes down to, and I don't blame the people of Buffalo at all, just like I didn't people in Oakland who declined to pay for a new A's stadium. You don't bail these billionaires out by paying for their sports arenas, regardless of whatever promises they're making about jobs and everything else. They need to be the ones footing the bill for the stadiums that their teams will be playing in.
Yeah, they need to come figure out whatever that is that's going on at Moody. Come have that conversation, then go back up to Buffalo and do what you need to do.
Yeah, Buffalo is all about setting tables on fire and throwing their fellow fans through said tables. although that happens a little bit under highway overpasses right now with the state of things, thanks to Steve Adler and his cronies. We're trying to clean the city up from that, Chad. We're not trying to add more into this great city.
Yeah, I would not take that team away from the Bills Mafia. That does not make a lot of sense to me. You might want to. Although, to be fair, there's been, what, two or three different cities that the Raiders were taken away from, and they took things away from Raider Nation for big business. But that is the latest story that comes from an ESPN report. Seth Wickersham saying that a source within Pegula Sports and Entertainment indicates that Austin is a possible destination or threat if the Bills can't get a new deal for a taxpayer-funded stadium. Hopefully they can figure out a different path there. All right, coming up, we will jump into the crab bag. I'll tell you something I never thought I would see, but boy, did I see it. And we'll talk about the Horn Top 20. We hit the Big Ten today with a team that we know loves their coach. Question is, how good are they going to be? We'll talk about it on the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Is a long way to go to deliver that. Either Trey Elling cares about all of you getting up, pumping your fists, and having a good time, or he's just got a podcast to talk about. What's up, Trey?
Well, I know all you jack wagons out there singing along to the chorus. It's impossible not to. This song is one of the catchiest in the history of music, and I see it every time it comes on in a bar. And as much as I hate this song, yes, I am enslaved to promoting shamelessly. New episodes of the podcast, Books on Pod. Newest episode is the next edition of our Docs on Pod series with Christine Stalakis. She is the director of an excellent new Netflix documentary called Pray Away. It's all about the gay conversion therapy movement. You do want to check out this film, and I think the conversation is worth it as well. You can hear that at booksonpod.com. Chad?
All right, it is Shirts and Skins on a Tuesday. Jeff Ward coming up at 1. Crap Bag coming up here in just a minute. But first, let's get the Horn Top 20, number 19 team out there and start discussing them. They're in the Big Ten.
I've failed you here. I do not see this.
No?
Oh, come on.
What happened?
I don't have it pulled up. Hold on.
All right. That's okay. Crap bag coming up. Again, something I never thought I would see, plus some Olympic updates for you as the Olympics continue to roll. By the way, here in a couple minutes, I will give you a Simone Biles update. So if you do not know what happened and you don't want to know and you want to watch it tonight authentically, you might want to, you know, adjust your schedule. So that's coming up in a couple minutes. Right now, though, let's hit number 19.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 19, the Indiana Hoosiers.
Oh, yeah. It's that group, coached by Tom Allen. The players loved him so much that a lot of them came back. 8 guys on offense, 9 guys on defense decide to come back. Ty Freifogel is back at receiver, and Michael Penix, probably more importantly, is back at quarterback. Indiana, you want a game to pay attention to in week one? Longhorn fans, you'll be dealing with Louisiana, obviously, but how about this one? Indiana at Iowa is a September 4th game. We also have Iowa-Iowa State early. So the triangle with those three I schools might be interesting to watch. If they beat Iowa, then they've got a chance. They play Cincinnati a couple weeks after that. That should be a pretty good team as well. They go to Penn State on October the 2nd. Can Indiana make last year not just appear like a fluke? Remember, they beat Penn State. First time they've beaten a top 10 in forever. Michigan they beat as a ranked team. Then they went to Wisconsin and won late in the season. So can Indiana continue their success? They were 6-2 last year in the weird short season. And again, they will start at Iowa, a team to pay attention to. I heard Bucky and Aaron this morning. Bucky thinks Indiana might be the second best team in the Big Ten. They certainly made you think about it last year. They've got talent coming back. All right, you'll hear more about Indiana as the day progresses. Right now, let's get into the crap bag. I'll tell you what I saw.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. So last night, I was doing a little bit of work, and I got a text, and that text was from Anwar Richardson of orangebloods.com. And the text included a link, and I clicked on the link, and I saw something I wasn't planning on seeing, and I enjoyed it, and I'm going to tell you about it, but it's one of those things I hadn't quite thought of with this Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC. I click on the link, and a podcast pops up with Anwar Richardson, Jeff Ketchum, and Billy Lucci of TexAgs. The three of them discussing the conference move for Texas and Oklahoma. I did a show for a while with Jeff Ketchum. We used to have Billy Lucci on all the time. And the best way I can promote this podcast is to tell you that in this podcast, Jeff Ketchum and Billy Lucci both admit things they were wrong about. And I've known each one of them for a while, and that doesn't happen very often. It happens inside the same podcast. Also, if you are a message board person and you are aware of a certain GIF, I believe is what it is, with the movement and the pictures and stuff. A certain GIF GIF that involves Mr. Billy Lucci, he gives you his feelings on the GIF in the podcast. So Jeff is at GK Ketch, at Anwar Richardson, at Billy Lucci, I believe, are all the Twitter accounts. So shout out to those guys. I enjoyed listening to the podcast, and it is such a weird world, but they're, you know, talking about their feelings on Texas and Texas A&M playing again, getting the game back, and some interesting comments are made based on what I know about all those guys, especially two of those guys, and the discussions they've had over the years. It's interesting to hear their discussion as Texas and Oklahoma, but mainly the Texas part of it, going to be headed back into that rivalry and into the SEC.
Billy Lucci, when the news first broke a couple weeks ago, was leading the faction of butthurt Aggies. So he's come around on this a little bit then?
Like I said, in the podcast, he will admit something he was wrong about, including something he was wrong about 7 days before they recorded. Something like that. Yeah, Ketch admits to something he was wrong about years ago. So it's a different, it's a mix of things.
Is the thing that he's admitting he's wrong about the reason why he and Billy haven't spoken since then?
No. It's not. They don't quite get that deep into it. I don't know in terms of those discussions about where they are there. But it was a good talk. So if you're on either side of the House Divided, maybe a podcast that you want to check out. Also, let's get you an Olympic update. I've been doing that in the crap bag lately. Last night, or actually it's tonight when you'll get to see this on NBC. Again, if you don't want it spoiled, you can adjust your radio here. But Simone Biles got her chance. She was able to get herself well enough mentally, connecting things with the body, to try balance beam. She said she was just doing it for her. She really wasn't thinking about medals. She was just going to try to go do it and see if she could pull it off. They adjusted the routine a little bit. The dismount she changed.
No twisties.
And she made it simpler than she did. She said, I haven't done that dismount since I was probably 12.
Yeah.
She said from 13 on, she said, I've always done a much more complex dismount.
Yeah, they simplified it. She was only going forward and backwards with her flips and not trying to twist in the air, which was part of the problem initially.
So Simone Biles ends up with the bronze medal in the beam. So congratulations to her. She does end up medaling at the Olympics. And she was up for, what, 5 or 6 Olympic medals. They thought it could be gold. But I've been really impressed with just how honest she's been through this whole process. She didn't go home. She's been cheering on not only her teammates, but the men's gymnastics team. And she said, Trey, she's been going through not only training sessions, because, you know, they have like the foam pit thing where you can safely do some stuff. She's been trying to make it connect and trying to make it come back. She's been doing multiple sports psychology sessions every day, trying to figure this out. She hasn't quite got it where, as she phrased it, where the wires are reconnected again. But she was, you know, this probably shows how talented she is, that she's going through all of this and still could get a bronze medal, kind of not half-assing it, but stripping it down to what she felt safe with, and she still got a bronze medal. That's pretty crazy.
She did. Congratulations to her. And as an aside, those foam pits, I see those a couple times a week when my kids are at their gymnastics classes.
Yeah.
Next to the trampolines, those are the thing that's most tempting for me to just say, ah, screw it. My kids are going to have to find a new gymnastics place and just go plunge into one of those things. It looks so fun.
My concern there is, do you think it's like the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese where there's just lots of bacteria hanging?
No.
Much feel less, like they keep that clean?
Much less fecal matter the gymnastics foam pit.
That is good. Also, men's basketball continues to win. They are into the semis now. Beat Spain 95-81. I talked about Gasol earlier. Mark Gasol says he's not done with the NBA, but he is done with international basketball. And congrats again to Texas X. And, of course, superstar Kevin Durant, 29 points. He had 13 points in the third quarter. They had a sluggish part of the game where they were down 10, I think, at one point. This is just a team that if they're not hitting their threes, it's gonna be tough for them. Something else to consider, reading an article today, a lot of these players and Greg Popovich were dealing with the free agency situation in the NBA. Greg Popovich reportedly hasn't slept much in the last couple days because he's been dealing with it. Because, you know, late night in Tokyo when you're supposed to be sleeping is the time when in America they're dealing with free agency. So hopefully now that that's passed now that it's free agency's begun, maybe it calms down a little bit. They can focus on Olympic basketball. But they're into the semifinals. The men's team, women's team is still in it as well and winning. So there's your Olympic update. Up next, it is Jeff Ward of the Jeff Ward Show. What does he think of Buffalo trying to use Austin to get a new stadium for their NFL team? Back to the Horn Top 20 and more on Indiana and what kind of season they could have at 1:30. Stay with us. It's the Horn.